Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Well, let me tell you the story of two different people. Neither of these are members of this congregation. First, there's Bill. Bill is a retired 70-something. Bill loves his church. He was baptized there as an infant. He was confirmed there. He was married there. His children were baptized there. They were married there. His parents' funerals were in that church. Bill loves coming to worship on Sunday morning. He appreciates the worship style. They sing his favorite hymns, and he thinks the choir is superb. Bill's been in the same Sunday school class for 50 years. And that Sunday school class feels like family to him. Bill even tithes and will on occasion give a little extra if there's a project that fits his passion. He served on every committee in the church, and some of them more than once. And speaking from a pastor's perspective, we will take as many Bills as we can get in a congregation. And then the second person is Suzanne. Suzanne is a married 40-something with two young teenagers. Suzanne works as an ER nurse in the local trauma hospital. Her days are long and stressful, especially when she has to work on weekends. Susan's faithful at worship when she can be, but she has to work every other weekend. The worship style at her church is not particularly her cup of tea, but her philosophy is, I go to worship, not to just enjoy the music. Suzanne hasn't served on very many committees at the church. She really doesn't have the time. Two evenings a week after she leaves work at the ER, she volunteers at a free clinic in a poverty-ridden neighborhood of the city. After being on her feet all day in the ER, she'd love to go home and just put up her feet. But her compassion for hurting people, combined with her passion for healing, drives her to the free clinic. Two Saturdays a month, Suzanne serves at the Teenage Pregnancy Center, teaching young mothers and soon-to-be young mothers how to care for their babies. Suzanne's passion extends beyond the healing arts. She also mentors a young Christian, teaching her mentee how to pray, how to read the scripture, teaching them what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Suzanne and her family live in a house that's a bit too small for them. She and her husband drives 8- and 10-year-old cars that are paid for. Suzanne and her husband make very good money, and they could afford a bigger house and a much bigger mortgage and 2 car payments, but they've made a conscious decision not to do so they can give more money to their church and money to the other causes that they feel passionate about. And as a pastor, if I had to choose between having Bill or Susan as a member of the congregation, I would choose Suzanne. Every time. So, why do you live where you live? Why do you drive the car you drive? Why do you have the job you have, or why did you have the job you had? Why did you marry your spouse? Why did you come to worship this morning? Will you go to Sunday school? You know, most all of life is about choice. You made a choice this morning to come to worship. Others made a choice not to come to worship. We choose all kinds of things in our life: where we go to school, what our career will be, who we will marry. We choose where we will live. Now, I know some of you might challenge me on that point, saying that your work told you where to live. Well, the bishop has told me where to live for the last 36 years. And I chose to give up control of that when I said I would be a United Methodist pastor. But I didn't have to be a pastor. And you didn't have to work for the company you work for. We both made choices. We make most all of our choices in life based on what benefits us, what's comfortable for us, what makes us happy, what will not harm us, what won't cost us too much. And that all seems to be perfectly sensible. On this second Sunday of Lent, we're pausing on our journey at the second station of the cross. Jesus carries his cross, or Jesus takes up his cross. At the first station last week, Jesus was condemned to death. Pilate had Jesus flogged and then handed him over to be crucified. Jesus was then commanded to pick up his cross and carry it that half mile uphill to the place of the crucifixion. Carrying the cross was ultimately a choice for Jesus. But in another sense, it was not a choice, because without it, our redemption would not have happened. And that's the reason Jesus came to live among us, was to redeem us. But Jesus' choice to carry the cross was not made to benefit him or to be comfortable to him or to because the cost was low or because it wasn't harmful. In reality, it was just the opposite of all of those things. Jesus' choice to carry the cross was the ultimate sacrifice. There was no advantage for Jesus to carry the cross. His choice to pick up the cross was total and complete selflessness. The sacrifice that Jesus endured out of love for you and for me was because we do not have the power or the ability to redeem ourselves. Luke 9:23, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my follower," or in the NIV it says disciple, "whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." Picking up your cross like Jesus is a choice you must make. All of life, all of my life, I've heard people say, "Well, that's just my cross to bear." Well, there are two ways of looking at that kind of cross. One, as suffering forced upon you, or the cross you choose to pick up as a disciple, which is what we're talking about here this morning. Because Jesus said, if you want, to want something means that you can make a choice. It indicates choice. Do we want to be a disciple? Not everybody wants to be a disciple. We may want others to think we're a disciple, and we may want to be called a disciple, but yet we aren't willing to fulfill what is required of us to be a disciple, namely denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. If you look at the people around Jesus, there were the disciples, those who had given up jobs and families to follow Jesus. We don't know the call story of all of the disciples, but we do know that Peter and James, Andrew and John, they were all fishermen. We know that the Scripture says that when Jesus called James and John, they left the boat with their father Zebedee and followed Jesus. We know Matthew was a tax collector and he left his tax booth to follow Jesus. We know that Peter was married because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. There were the followers of Jesus in terms of those who were his disciples. And then there was the crowd who followed Jesus. They followed him from town to town because of what Jesus could do for them or for their family or for a friend. Whether it was to heal or to cast out demons, or maybe they just enjoyed the stories that Jesus told. Those who were disciples were willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. Simply put, the others weren't willing to do that. They followed Jesus for what Jesus simply could do for them. Faithful discipleship is not for the faint of heart. We are a society that strives on comfort and ease. We avoid inconvenience as much as possible. And if we avoid inconvenience, then choosing to sacrifice is rarely on the radar. Being a disciple is not something that comes automatically. You don't become a disciple by being baptized and joining the church. You may be a Christian and you may be a member of the church, but that does not make one a disciple. For Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. But becoming a disciple is a process. It's a journey. It's a process that begins with a desire to know Jesus. So we come to worship, we come to Sunday school, we may be a part of a Bible study, we may pray and read the Scripture during the week. However, if we want to be a disciple, we must take that journey even farther. The process must move us from just knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus and then taking the next step of denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily. Selfishness is prevalent in our society, and maybe it has always been, while selflessness is often hard to recognize in our society. But Jesus' call to deny ourselves is about looking beyond ourselves and looking to the needs of others, looking beyond our agendas to what is best for others. We will never get to the place of taking up our cross until we're able to deny ourselves, until we're able to look beyond ourselves and our wants and our agendas. Before Jesus picked up his cross, he was in the garden praying, "Not my will, but yours be done." We can never get to the place of making the sacrifice required for carrying our cross until we can deny ourselves and move beyond our selfishness. Frequently, I hear people talking about why they come to worship on Sunday morning, and the consistent response is something like, "It gives me strength for the coming week." Now, I could be totally misreading that response, but I interpret that response to say, "I come to worship for me." Most of us don't think of ourselves as selfish, but when was the last time you truly sacrificed? Not when you were inconvenienced. When was the last time you truly sacrificed? What does denying self, taking up our cross, what does it look like? Well, in some parts of the world, it looks like death or the risk of death. Some people in our world can't live their faith out in the open, and if they do, they risk the ultimate sacrifice of giving their life. Well, we don't face that issue in this country. We're not likely to risk death for openly practicing our faith. But after our lives, what's the most precious thing to us? What's the most precious thing to us? Time, energy, family, money. And I have them in that order for a reason. And the reason I put family third is that God's not going to call many of you to leave this country and leave your family behind and go serve Him as a missionary somewhere. And so the most precious thing to us is our time and our energy, even more so than our money. So what would it look like for you to sacrifice? What would it look like for you to sacrifice your time or your energy or your family time or your money for the sake of Christ and His church? Again, not inconvenienced, but truly a sacrifice that moves beyond just being a bother to you to the point of suffering. But maybe a better question would be, why would we want to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. Well, shoulds and oughts aren't sufficient motivators. Guilt is not a sufficient motivator. It may motivate some more than others, depending on the tradition you grew up in. But shoulds and oughts, or even guilt, will not sustain us for very long in taking up our cross. It may sustain us for a little while, but not for long. Even Jesus' words from Scripture telling us that if we want to be a disciple, we must take up our cross and follow Him is not enough to sustain us daily. There is only one thing. There is only one thing strong enough to sustain a daily taking up of the cross. And that is love, followed closely by compassion and passion. Love for Christ and love for our neighbor is the only thing that will allow us to make the necessary sacrifices of our time, our energy, our family, and our money. I mean, think about who you are most likely to sacrifice for. Your kids and your grandkids. Why? Because you love them dearly. But to be a disciple of Christ means that we extend that love beyond our children and our grandchildren, and we extend that love to Christ and to our neighbors. When it comes to being a disciple, that love must extend to all. To all of our neighbors, near and far. Christ and His church needs disciples, not just church members. For the sake of Christ and Christ's church, there needs to be more Susannas. People who are willing to deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow Christ. I have loved and appreciated all the Bills in my congregation. They have been faithful members of their congregations, and they have supported their churches for years. And many, if not most, churches are sustained by the Bills. But to make a lasting difference in our world, the church needs disciples, not just members. And being a disciple is a choice. So will you choose today to be a disciple? Will you choose today to be one who will deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Christ? For the sake of Christ and for the sake of our world, Christ needs disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.